Accession number 31447, Mr. George Clark, Real 4. Now, we're talking about your time with the Defence Platoon at the headquarters of the 4th Guards Brigade in Dusseldorf, 46, 47, we're talking about. You have an interest in music, I think. I mean, was there much music? Is it jazz music? Because there's a letter here about Sinatra. And
oh, yeah, that's...
Were you very interested in music? I mean, I don't know whether you played in a band or...
No, but I'm very interested in sort of jazz music.
Or now, when did that start?
Swing music.
When did that start?
In the 40s. I went, during the war, I went to a cinema, Kingsbury Odeon, and it was name of the film, but there was a trumpeter called Harry James and his band, and he played a song, I Had the Craziest Dream, and that song stuck with me, I think, more or less for the rest of my life.
You just really liked it?
Yeah, yeah.
And how did you pursue your interest in swing jazz, or swing music?
Well, jazz records, sort of thing.
You didn't go to concerts?
If anyone come over here, we went, yeah.
And what about in Germany, because there's quite a bit of jazz in Germany.
Yeah, no, we wasn't then. We relied mostly on the radio, because we used to phone up the radio for songs played and that.
Now tell me about that. What radio was that?
It was the
Forces.
Forces radio. Yeah, I don't know who the DJ were, but we used to phone up and write and say, we play it for the Hubba Hubba Boys of Hubbara. I used to do it now and again.
Well, you were at Hubbleworth, Dusseldorf?
Yeah.
And that they would play it?
And I was saying, cause if you left one or two of the names out, the guys come, why didn't you put my name when you wrote it, or whatnot?
Now, so, anything else happening? What else do you remember?
Something happened there, but it's very sad. Hubbleworth is at the top of a hill, and we had a guy... It wasn't one of us, he was with a Remy. I think his name was Scudder. And they allotted him a house. You know, they took the houses over from the Germans, a big house. Because he was a full-time soldier. And he went to pick his wife up. And he was driving the hill, and he had to do a U-turn to his house. And as he'd done a U-turn, something come and hit him. And his wife was immediately killed. You know, she just arrived in Germany, and she was killed there and then. It seemed terrible then.
Anything else you remember?
Yeah, nothing. I know when you used to come home on leave, you used to go to the Hook of Holland, to Harwich, and then to Liverpool Street. And you used to stay in Liverpool Street Station all night. And on the trains, like, they give you a packed lunch, and the kids used to run along the track and used to throw the packed lunch out to them, but they advise you to stop it because one or two of them had been killed. And also they used to jump on the train and throw the coal off and then jump off the train, which was very dangerous.
So, what happens next? So, you're still with the platoon. Now, yeah. You were enjoying this part, weren't you?
Yeah, loved it. That's when my time was up.
Now, you extended it, didn't you? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I should have come out, I think, in February.
February
48.
Now, why did you extend it?
They said I was very short of personnel. And if you signed on for 6 months, they'd give you a month's leave immediately. And there was four of us, so we all done it. And I had to leave, went back. And then I said, if you now would sign on for 3 years, we'd give you £100 in cash. Well, the eldest guy, or the guy that had been in longest, he signed. And the minute he signed, he was put back in the battalion. And none of us really wanted to go back to the battalion, so we all came out.
So you didn't want to sign on as a regular?
No. I think we're just having a good time, and
So it wasn't that you wanted to be a soldier; it's just that this was a cushy number.
Exactly. Yeah.
So anything happened in the last, well, you signed on for an extra 6 months in, so that would be to August 48, I presume. Anything happened that in the last 6 months, or was it just more of the same?
No, I think it was more of the same. The only thing, when I came out, was a guy with us, an Irish guard, Jack Dunn, who was a regular, and he couldn't drink. We looked after him all the time, sort of thing. And when we came away, I think within a couple of months, he fell off the back of a lorry going up the hill, and somebody could sort of run over and killed him.
Now, did you have, you know, when people were demobilised, did you have parties? Because there used to be quite a thing in Germany at the time of demob parties, you know, where before people went back. You know, did you have parties?
No, I don't. I had my 21st birthday in Hamburg, Düsseldorf, sorry, and we, this little Scots light infantry, the postman, he said, "Well, have it in my room," sort of thing. So in the afternoon, we had a drink. We got a little band in, about four guys, German guys. So I don't know who organised that. And then we had drinks there, and then after we disappeared down to the 94 Club. And after that, I do not remember anything. They said I was dancing on the piano, but I don't remember things. They got me back to the barracks, but I honestly don't remember anything from there.
So what then? Tell me about your demob. How does that happen? Is that August?
I was into October, wasn't it? But you come out.
You're into October, right?
Yeah, I was. But I think it was August I come out, because it was the end of the Olympics. I see the marathon that was run up the road here.
So what happened when you came back? How were you demobilised?
I forget where I had to go now, somewhere, and get the suit and the uniform. It was in England. Where was it? I can't remember. It was two of us come out together. Me and a guy named Sutton.
And what do you think of your demob suit?
I wasn't bad, sort of thing, but I don't know. I think I kept the grey out. Could you keep the grey coat then? I can't remember.
I think you could.
I had a funny feeling I did.
So what were you going to do? You demobbed?
Well, when I come home in February, on the month's leave they gave me, I had a mate who's dead now, and I said to him, I must get an outside job. They said, someone's in, I think. So I said to him, I'd like to get an open air job. So he said, well, I'm working for London Transport's Vegetation Control. So I said, well, you know, sounds good to you. So we'll come up and see the governor while you're on leave. So I went up and see the, I think it's the second in command, sort of thing. And he said, you're ideal for what we want, someone who's no discipline. He said, because we go along the track on a train, and he said, we see these guys leaning against the posts. He said, but we know they're just having a break, and they've been working like it. He said, you know, but you'd know anything about gardeners. Well, look after my mother's garden. He said, well, come and see us when you come out. And I had a couple of weeks' holiday, and then I went there.
And that was your career, wasn't it?
Yeah, I stayed there, yeah.
Right. You enjoy the work?
Oh, the tree work was brilliant. Yeah, I loved it, because you was moving everywhere. You were different places all the time, yeah.
Now, are you a member of any associations, you know, the Irish Guards Association? Anything?
No, like I should have done, but I didn't.
Why didn't you join?
I don't know, I was silly. I should have, I often regret that, actually. I always look in the Legion book or the saga, see if there's any reunions, just wondering if I could go and anyone I know.
What about your old comrades? Do you keep in touch with any of them?
What, from the forces? No. Only one, this guy I was telling you earlier, that he come out with me, Bungy Rose. He got fed up and went back and joined the Welsh Guards, I think, within 3 months. That was in Berlin. They made him a sergeant. But I think if he'd been in contact with me, I might have gone with him, sort of thing. But that's what I got where I was working at the end of when I finished.
Tree supervisor.
Yeah, we had a little, me and Fred, we'd do the trees, and all you wore was a pair of Wellingtons, old Wellingtons, and a pair of old what's it called, jeans sort of thing, no problem. So if you went up a tree and your foot got stuck, you take your Wellington out. You take your foot out of the Wellington and then pull the Wellington. Next thing, they started bringing trousers that the chainsaw doesn't cut, helmet, special boots, goggles, earmuffs, and I just couldn't handle it. And I said, you know, there's no way either put me down on that. I said, well, keep the gang for now and see what happens. And anyway, the supervisor job come up. And every job I've had, they've asked me to do. Like, no, I mean, I didn't really want responsibility. But the gangers job was coming out in, what was it, out Chigwell. And the gang I hired was going there. And they said, well, there's a gang over this way. And I said, I don't really want it. He said, well, you won't get travelling time because that'll be your depot, Chigwell. So I thought, well, I'm not going all the way to Chigwell every day. Well, not Leytonstone, I think, somewhere around there. So I put in for it and, you know, I got it, luckily. And that, you know, that's it. And I enjoyed it, yeah.
Good career.
I left a year early because three of my mates died before I was 65. So I thought, take a chance. But, you know, I'm nearly 82 now, so really I could have stayed the other year.
Thank you very much.